wasteland. The last video store on Earth still spreads the lost art of cinema. But during the month of October, its employees and some special guests shine a spotlight on horror! Welcome to the Apocalypse Video Shocktober Spooktacular! I am your creepy narrator, Immortan Hoof. For our first taste of devilish delights, we give you the 2012 Irish horror comedy, Grabbers. When things stop getting polite and start getting grabbed.
Hello, and welcome to the first installment of the Apocalypse Video Spooktober Spooktacular. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined by my fiendish cinephile goons. I should say ghouls. I didn't mean to say goons.
I like goons. No, like, I start out negging
us. I'm just going to forego the scary
voice. Our fiendish goons.
I'll leave that to our narrator and just speak normally. fellow goon, Jackie.
Gobshite.
And man who is almost always drunk on the job, Mike.
Oh, tis a fine Spooktober, tis.
And we're talking about Grabbers, the 2002 Irish horror film.
Dave, 2012.
Oh, 2012? What'd I say?
Two.
Man, I am terrible at this.
10 years off, bud.
I'm so off right now. I'm sorry. It's just so spooky.
You've been
hitting your flask?
Yeah.
I have a little bit. Just
You've been openly hitting
There's
your
like
flask at work?
There's like little gooey squid things going around the store. It's
oh,
hard.
No. Oh, yeah. They
Don't insult the customers, dude.
But yeah, we're talking about Grabbers. Jackie, this was your pick for Spooktober. And I got to admit, I had never heard of this movie before when you proposed it. And when I looked at some of the cover art on Chattopedia for the DVDs,
uh-huh.
It really did look like a straight-to-video, like, Asylum-type movie. One poster, in fact, it seemed very reminiscent of something like Shaun of the Dead or At World's End. It just showed, like, a glass of beer inside a case, and it said, in case of alien attack, break glass, drink me. So when I see that poster, I think, okay, this is going to be like Shaun of the Dead or something like that. And it is funny. It is funny at times, but I was surprised by how straight this movie played it for the most part.
Yeah.
This movie has so much more heart than any Asylum film I've ever seen.
Definitely.
Like this is not at all trying to be like a bad on purpose movie or a cynical cash.
No, it's like
something.
It's obviously on, you know, a budget, but it's not like laughing at itself. It's like, let's tell a kind of spooky alien story. And yeah, there's humor to it, but it's mostly in the way of like people just kind of being wry and Irish.
It just seems pretty like they're having fun.
Yeah. And I love it. Yeah.
Like when the movie starts, like, you know, that's one thing I will say for this movie right off the bat. It obviously had a small budget. I think the budget for it was only around $5 million or so.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And it's one of those movies, it's Irish, so it, you know, it's one of those foreign films where it's brought to you by like 20 different production companies and awarded funds by the National Lottery and stuff like that. It's one of those. And I got to say, this is something, not a lot of movies are made nowadays since this, you know, the post-apocalypse. But one thing I really wish they would have done for movies like this, it's like, I get that you got to, you know, a lot of people brought you this movie and you got to shout them out. But is it really necessary for us to see like 10 different logos and then when the credits start, see the exact same studios again presented in the credits? Like, that needs to stop.
Well, I mean,
maybe that's how they got the money, you know? We'll pay for this, but you
like,
gotta show
on,
our
guys.
Logo. You know?
This isn't NASCAR.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway.
That little nitpick aside.
That's
like,
not the movie's fault.
I gotta say, for such a small budget, I think the effects in this movie were impressive. And I think it's shot pretty well. And
yeah,
this movie doesn't feel cheap to me.
It feels cheap to me, but
like within the bounds of their budget, yeah. I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, they definitely like knew better than most how to kind of film, you know, some CG and make sure it's dark. They're moving the camera around kind of quickly, so you never just have like lingering. With a couple exceptions that look pretty good and are probably the most expensive shots, you don't have a whole lot of like just dead on looking at the CG monster.
And I think just besides the CG of it, that like it is very well shot in terms of like, you know how beautiful Ireland is? Check it out.
They definitely make me want to visit the pre-wasteland Ireland.
And it's,
for all we know that we're in Ireland right now.
Yeah, since there are no more, like, seas to cross, it could be Ireland.
No more Ires, no more lands.
Yeah.
That's one thing this movie definitely has going for it. It does have a small budget, but I think the production value is aided by beautiful locations.
Yeah, and atmospheric ones, too, because, we're telling a story about, you know, alien things that exist only in water. Where should we set that on a wet-ass Irish island?
I love that it's, like, all pretty much set. I think it is all set in just a small town in Ireland, like the horror movie where you just set everything in a small town and in some kind of single, you know, a Crystal Lake, if you will.
If you will.
Or a hotel in Colorado. That's great. It's a great horror kind of premise, especially for a smaller budget. Totally makes sense. And this village feels very nice. Like, I feel like I kind of got a sense of the village. You know, I got to see the church, got to see the bar multiple times. We saw the same
pub. You get the main locations, the pub, the church, and the construction site.
Yes. and the beach, and the gross beach.
They do a good job of really showing how idyllic this island is. You know, in fact, I can't remember you're going to have to help me with the character names. I can't remember them. The main guy.
O'Shea.
Say again?
O'Shea,
yeah.
Very
the
Irish.
The main guy, O'Shea, you know, talks to the new cop coming in brief. Who's
Lisa
coming
Nolan.
In for a couple weeks. Lisa Nolan is like, this is a pretty quiet island. Like, you're not going to see murder or crazy shit or anything like that.
There are no grabbers here.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah. We don't have a grabber problem. Yeah,
it's like Dublin.
With his grabbers at every pub. They do a good... stuff like this is fun. Like, I think this has a lot of the fun horror movie tropes that I enjoy. Like, isolated location. A location that otherwise would be completely safe and, you know, but catches everyone off guard. And, and then the movie forces the inhabitants of this island to kind of jam into one central location. Obviously also to save on budget.
Not
the meta reasoning, but I like stuff like that. Shove everyone in one location and it traps them in there. It's almost like a zombie.
And it's a good location.
Oh,
it's a
pub.
Good location.
It's almost like a Simpson. I mean, we'll get back to the kind of recap the movie a bit, but while we're talking about it, I do love the like almost Simpsons level thing of like, hey, everyone in the church, let's go over to the pub.
Yeah. Free drinks, free.
Oh yeah, let's go.
Even the priest is like, oh okay.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, you mentioned the synopsis, Jackie. This is your pick. Why don't you explain the synopsis of Grabbers for those who haven't seen it?
Yeah, let's go with Grabbers. First of all, my context with it: the last time I saw this was first and last time before this was in a dorm room in spring 2014. Found it completely by chance on Netflix and put it on expecting to be like, you know.
This was in your pre-vent,
living
in the air vent days?
I hadn't yet discovered the freedom of the vents. I was like one of the dirty earth crawlers like you guys. But found it totally on accident thinking like, oh, we'll just put like something like corny on, just, you know, probably not pay attention.
This is probably going to be some real gobshite.
Real gobshite.
This is some Netflix and chill.
It literally, yeah. But so we're watching this, and then it is silly, but as we're watching it more and more, we were like, oh, shit, we're getting into it. And like,
it was more Netflix.
It
less chill.
It was not chill. It was just a good movie. So that was in the past, many, many moons ago. And the story of Grabbers, we've got yeah, as we said, this sleepy Irish island. Well, first of all, we open with something coming out of space. We got like a meteor. We got like a...
It's literally the predator shot.
Yeah. We're out in space. There's a predator approaching. And then some fishermen on a boat are, in the middle of the water are noticing something. And then they get pulled one by one into the water. They get grabbed, you might say. A lot of people do get grabbed in this movie, which makes sense. But so then we come to a... what is part, the other half of this story, which is a buddy cop. Well, we got the drunk cop and we got the bright-eyed, you know, rookie. So it's part predator, it's part buddy cop story. And the
all grabber.
And the alcoholic O'Shea is a sad man.
We know he's an alcoholic because he's fallen, or first shot of him, he's asleep with an empty bottle of vodka.
So yeah, that's how you know.
Love it.
And everyone knows he's an alcoholic, and he is, regardless, the, one of two Garda of the island, which are the state police of the Irish Republic. And the other person who works there is, like, going on a two-week vacation, so they're bringing in this other officer from the city, and that's Lisa Nolan, the bright-eyed non-alcoholic, and they come in. We're learning about this sleepy little town. Oh, there's nothing ever happens here. Nobody gets grabbed, but at the same time, but then
no grabbing in this town.
But then some other, I guess, fishermen. It seems like most people are fishermen on this island, or they work at the pub. but this is where we meet Patty, the town drunk. And he finds basically a baby grabber. He finds some little, like, slithery tentacle thing that we never really get a clear shot on until we do.
Kanek, take a look at this. It's a big one. Is that a lobster?
And what is it?
Bastard, you paddy! You knew it was going to do that.
I didn't, on me life.
Ugh, the smell.
What is it?
Tis no feckin' lobster.
Tis no feckin' lobster. which is great.
Yeah, he like puts it in a cage and takes it home. And he has like his makeshift like hazmat suit where he has like a welder hat on. It's great.
And
yeah,
so,
puts
yeah,
in his bathtub.
Patty's like, yeah, I bet I could keep this this little guy. And then meanwhile, on the beach, a bunch of little whales have washed up, and they're all like, we meet the other character, Smith, who's a marine ecologist, and
who looks like basically Irish John Mulaney.
Kind of does.
Oh wow.
But so the buddy cops go that a ways.
They're basically like the cops have nothing to do,
yeah,
so they're
like
helping out
whales.
The marine biologist with the dead whales.
They don't even also have like swans to collect like in Hot Fuzz.
There's not even a swan. But so yeah, they're there with the whales. They're kind of like, well, this is weird. And the marine guy's like, yeah, it is. Something like killed them or grabbed them at sea. And then they all washed up here. And then
Snappy dialogue. I feel like this is where I was starting to be like, this movie, like,
it's a good snappy movie. That's the thing where it's like, it is an outlandish-ish premise, but the humor is in the character interactions where they're just kind of like shooting the shit with each other.
There's really good chemistry with all the actors, I think, which is the big takeaway I have from this movie. Like, that scene in particular is like I forget what exactly he says, but the drunk cop, while he's with,
he's
the,
also like actively drinking from a flask.
Yeah,
like,
he's actively drinking. Like, he is a raging alcoholic for sure. And he's drinking, and he says something like, you know, like, what happened to these whales? And the marine biologist is like, nothing happened. They're fine. Like, there's a lot of just like weird banter like that I liked.
Very Irish.
Smith.
Lisa.
Hi. This a marine psychologist or something. Did I get that right?
No.
It's marine ecology. You hold this a second. How long are you here for?
I'm here 2 weeks.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Whereabouts are you staying?
So, they're, dead.
Dead? Oh, no, no. No, they're just sleeping.
What I like about this, though, is that when this movie started and we get our first glimpse of O'Shea, and he's, you know, he's got like multiple empty bottles in his trash can.
He's like looking bleary eyed into the mirror. Yeah,
I immediately like tensed up and thought to myself, oh, no, is this going to be another Wolf Cop situation where our protagonist is like this over the top drunk guy? And it's just, you know, because I never saw the horror of Wolf Cop. If Ryan were a lot still alive and on this episode, he would say, don't watch Wolf Cop. It's bad. I enjoyed it enough. There are some fun parts, but I think one of the things I disliked the most about Wolf Cop was it was one of those B horror movies where it's trying to be bad, you know, that kind of thing. It does a better job of walking that line than other movies of its ilk, but the one thing I really disliked about Wolf Cop was the over-the-top drunkenness of our protagonist and just most of the characters in general. And when I saw the poster for this movie, which is like, okay, so I guess people got to get drunk, which we haven't got to in the
synopsis. They do have
yet.
To get drunk. We'll get to it.
But I knew that going into this, all right, so people being drunk is going to be a key to this movie somehow. And oh no, our protagonist is always going to be drunk. Like, is this going to be the same thing as Wolf Cop where it's just like all the humor is like,
I had the same fear.
I'm drunk all the time and blah, you know, which gets old so fast in Wolf Cop. But here I think it's played really well. Like, yes, he is drunk all the time, but he's not like outlandishly cartoonishly over the top drunk. It's just,
and it's
like,
something they kind of like in a somewhat meaningful serious way do kind of explore into his yeah. character. Like, it's not, it is kind of a joke, but it's not just a punchline.
It's the way that, like, not to say that this is like a documentary, but it's somewhat realistic in that, like, people who are functional alcoholics are good at joking about it so that people don't really like
and I'll say,
try
Dave,
to call
like,
them on it.
I agree, Jackie, and I'll say, Dave, like, I had the same fear with this movie, but I think I would say, if you're listening to this out there in the waste, this is not one of those movies. Like, this is this movie is nothing but sincere and is just having fun, which
that's
I
why
really
works,
appreciate.
I think, yeah. I think that's why his performance works. He's not playing it over the top. It's just like, yeah, I drink all the time. He uses it as a coping mechanism, mm-hmm. and it's not played for the most part. That part of the drunken side of the story isn't played for laughs. He just is drunk. Like, obviously the Patty character,
yeah, Patty's the town drunk.
Patty
played up for humor
has
but
the title
then,
town
like,
drunk.
Yeah, his Chiron is town drunk.
But even then, I feel like it's just, you know,
he's
like
Patty.
It's the chemistry of the characters,
yeah.
And I think they're all playing this sort of straight. Like, Patty is the one exemption, but for the most part, the movie plays this straight, I feel, and that's what really makes it work, I think.
Totally.
I would agree. Yeah.
So we were talking about the whale. So the whales have washed up.
The whales
and they're
have
mutilated.
Washed up, and then that night there's like, you know, last two people cleaning up like the whales basically, and one of them is like, oh, it, you know, sun is setting, it's getting dark. One of them's like, oh, I need to go grab like whatever from the shore, and he finds some big old like egg things,
and of course he pokes them
and then guess what, he gets grabbed. That night it's like pouring rain.
I think isn't that night the scene where our drunk police officer,
that's
he's
when
at
he
the,
shoots
he's at
a
the
shot
bar,
at the bar.
And Patty shows up and he's like, just
I found
like,
me a grabber.
Yeah, he's just like, they're just like both drinking at the pub. And Patty like leans over to the officer and is like, I found a sea monster.
Hey, guess what? guess what I found?
Scene.
It is. Like, it's a really good scene. And it's, you know, because it's a small town. The pub is also, you know, has some rooms. And so the, so Lisa is staying there too. The bartender convinces Shay, like, oh, you know what that girl wants is for you to fuck her. And he's like, yeah? So he does try.
If you like, I'll try to convince her to get a bigger room.
This is this is the one aspect of the movie, and we were kind of talking about this watching it, that like, that's the one, the romance element I could really take or leave. I think it does work in the fact that, as we said, all the actors have really good chemistry together.
Yeah.
So I do like the two leads as just kind of, again, like buddy cops playing off each other. I don't need them to make out. That said, like at the very end, spoilers, they do make out. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's fine. But so he does go to her room while drunk, and what is the...
Really drunk. Like, this is pretty...
Which, again, just like... imagine your temporary coworker shows up blackout drunk at your door.
The day after your first day on the job, where he's just actively drinking
and
from a flask.
And just tries to shoot his shot, and you're like, no, no thanks. But so...
she puts him in the drunk tank.
She puts him in the drunk tank.
Which is fun.
But as this is happening the same night, you know, it's pouring rain, and we are at some random house with some couple, and they hear a knock at the door, and they're like, oh, who's it's what is the guy's name? Oh, shit. It was like Pokey or something super.
Tag. Or
was
tag?
It?
Tag? It's spelled T-A-D-H.
Yeah.
Tag oh,
Murphy.
Yeah. It was one of the, I don't know. But so they're one like, someone's at the door. This is the one part that like, I was genuinely like pretty freaky to me when we see the grabber in action, because with these, you know, long tentacly things, he's basically like operating a guy as a puppet. He's like dragging him around
like they
lure
open the door,
people out.
They hear a knock at the door and they open it, and they don't see like a monster. They just see like a guy
kind of like stumbling. There is a really good
funny.
He's
being hung, but they think he's like kind of stumbling drunk.
And it's pretty horrific. There is a really funny line before they open the door, and the guy looks at the people. And he's like, oh, it's Pug. He's, what is it like? He's drunk as a fart.
Yeah. He's pissed as a fart.
He's pissed as a fart.
That's a great
really
line.
Really fucking good. But it's to lure people out like into the rain, the water, basically to grab them, get their blood. Because as we learn, the next day,
they live on two things,
water and blood. So yeah, next day O'Shea wakes up in the drunk tank. He's like, sorry, I, was a fucking alcoholic last night.
Sorry, I am who I am.
And Lisa's like, it's, you know, you passed out before I could ask where you live, so let's just not talk about it. And I think it was also the previous night where Patty, going home to his sea monster, it tries to fucking like face hug him, face grab, if you will. And so Patty, like,
Patty
because
beats it up.
He's a town drunk. He is able to get the thing off his face because for some reason it doesn't like his blood. And so he kicks the shit out of it.
It's pretty good.
And the next day brings it to Smith, the marine ecologist guy, and then Lisa and O'Shea show up as well to figure out what the fuck this thing is. And this is a great scene because this is when we first...
is this the scene in the lab?
It's the first scene in the lab where we are introduced to the term grabber, because that's what Patty keeps calling it. And Smith is like, I'm not going to call it a grabber. Everyone's, he keeps on saying like, hey, the grabber.
It just kind of sticks.
What is that thing?
I haven't a clue. I've never seen anything like it before. It's a completely foreign species. I can't even begin to originate or class it.
A grabber.
Who's attacked you?
Stuck on the ceiling, it was. Nearly ripped me throat out.
It's dead, right?
I'm not sure.
You're not what?
Basic tests I've done so far have shown up nothing usual or normal. It is beyond mystifying. I mean, really, I can't be sure without opening it up.
Is dead.
Would you stop doing that? Is it any wonder it bit you?
So we're in the lab with Smith and the cops and Patty, and that's when we're kind of seeing the body of like a baby grabber for the first time. And it's super nasty and it has a lot of tentacles, and it's one of those classic movie monsters that's both phallic and vaginal, because it's got a big vagina anus mouth right at the center, and then a bunch of sharp penetrative tentacles.
Some good like actual.
Yeah, there was some good practical
props,
stuff.
Good wet props.
Good wet KY jelly.
Yeah, a lot of KY jelly, I'm imagining.
That to me is the best kind of alien. It's so sticky. but this is where we kind of, I think, our first learning that, as we said, it survives on two things, water and blood. And because Patty, the town drunk's blood, is so full of alcohol, it was poison to... this creature.
It's like lethally poisoned by alcohol.
It's
important to note that this revelation doesn't occur until halfway through the movie, which again, based on the poster, I'm like, this is okay. So this is going to be a comedy horror romp.
And also this movie is only like 93 minutes.
It's only 93 minutes. Yeah. So I guess that's important to note too. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. Like, that the whole crux of the movie kind of doesn't happen until halfway through. I thought that was like, wow, that's some restraint before they unveil that.
Very restrained movie.
It's a very restrained grabbers. So at that point they are going to back to the beach for some reason. I think they're looking for dog or whatever. Because he hasn't, he's missing, and his like car is down there. And at this point, they find the eggs on the beach. Patty pokes them, doesn't get grabbed. Good for him. And the Lisa and O'Shea go into the cave, or, you know, like some beach caves. And earlier there was a line about like, or something along the lines of like, well, this is a female. It laid an egg. There are going to be more eggs. That means there's a male somewhere who's fertilizing the eggs. So in the cave, they find the big, super big tentacle-y male grabber. and they put on, I found it really funny, they put on little like police hats in this scene. And it's specifically so when they're running out of the cave, one of the hats can get grabbed. It's good. It's good.
And this is, I think it's after this where they're like, so again, we know it can survive. It needs water and blood to survive. And there's, of course, going to be a big storm.
A storm coming. There's a storm brewing tonight.
Oh, with all the water, it'll be able to move about freely on the island.
When there's a storm, there's no thing as dry land.
Yeah, there's no such thing as dry land.
Well, this is the point where I really love, because Lisa and O'Shea are rightfully like scared shitless of the grabber now, having seen the big one. So they go back to the lab and they're like, we got to set this fucking thing on fire right now. and so they do that. Smith's trying to stop them because there's a sprinkler system set up that will get the creature wet. And at this point, Patty, too, is like, well, peace out. I love Patty, like, ducks out for the action. He's not trying to stick around.
I'm going back to the pub.
And once the little grabber gets wet, it comes alive again. And it grabs O'Shea's face. So they have to get it off him. There's a great moment where they're, like, sneaking up on it. And Smith grabs a chair. And Lisa grabs a really tiny knife, and O'Shea's looking around for something to grab, and he gets a magazine and just kind of rolls it up.
Yeah, that was perfect. And for me, that was the funniest moment of the movie.
That totally felt like a Shaun of the Dead deleted scene or something.
And then they beat the shit out of the grabber comically, for like a full minute.
And there's like they're like beating it for like a while. And then like eventually the doctor is like, you know, it's a shame.
Discovered a new creature.
This is the biological find of our life. And then it starts moving like, oh fuck! And then it just start beating it again.
Beat it more. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
There goes the scientific discovery of our time. Imagine all that we could have learned. Oh. Still moving.
A very elongated sequence with just them beating it.
Yeah, POV, you're a grabber and we are destroying you. At this point they formulate the plan, the lock-in. They got to get everyone in town to be in one spot and be drunk.
Yeah, we keep everyone safe by keeping our blood alcohol content at
disgusting. It has to be a 0.2, and they find this out because
20% alcohol.
Well, they do a little experiment first. So Lisa gets drunk, and guess
who's
what?
Never gotten
it's
drunk
her
before
first
in her
time
life.
Getting drunk. She's like 30 years old. She's like, I've never done that. So there's this is another point where, like, in another movie, this would be like go on too long and be like not believable drunk acting, but like it's fun when she like
it's good drunk acting
when she's like giddy and everything, and then they take her blood and then they spray it at the creature to be like, okay, so this is the poison, you blew a 0.2, holy shit, we have to get fucked up.
This is what I was worried going in. I was worried about the drunk acting, because for me personally, drunk acting in movies is
when
one
it's
of my
bad,
least favorite.
When
it's bad, it's bad. It's one of my least favorite things, and it's trying to be comedic, you know, for drunk acting just in general in movies. Like, I check out every time. I'm like, I hate this. But if, surprisingly, they do a good job of reining it in. It's not everyone in the movie just like... Blah, blah, blah,
yeah, there's different levels because, like, yeah, there's different kind of drunk people.
If there were Academy Awards for drunk acting, this might win. I was kind of like wondering, like, are people... Are they drunk, like, for real? Like, it was played very well, I thought, the drunkenness. I don't think
you have to, when you're playing drunk, but also you're trying to, like, get serious, like, you're in a serious situation, so mm-hmm. a lot of the people, like, I've been in situations like this before, where, like, you're drunk, but you're forced to think, so your brow really furrows, you're like, concentrate,
when they
the
are going to the, you know. They get everyone in the church to tell them, like, hey, we're having a party
at the pub. So that's what happens. Yeah, they, like, go to where everyone's, of course, in the church. Why not?
It's like a Sunday, I think they said.
It's a very movie thing. Whatever. I have to imagine.
And
that's
it's a small island. And also, again, conveniently, because it's a movie, everyone there is, like, 40 years old. There are no children that they have to account for.
I love that. Yeah, this movie, like, everyone is, like, the youngest person is, like, 32
in
this movie.
And I made a note of this because I just love of like everyone's got like a real interesting face, and everyone is just like really funny and wry and it's good.
Well, one thing we didn't mention, something is in the beginning of the movie, like most of the inhabitants of the island, I think, leave right for like some event or something.
Was it?
Maybe.
Oh, I missed that.
Maybe right? Or was this like the last day? Or I couldn't tell because like. When
I just got the vibe that it was a small village, but that would make sense. Definitely. That like,
well, when Lisa gets there, like in the beginning,
it's true. There's a lot of people going on the ferry that she's getting off.
Oh
yeah.
Well, and I wasn't sure. Like, do those people live on the island, or were they only like tourists or something?
Oh,
it's a good point.
I don't know.
Because that would make sense for a movie like this, where it's like, most of the people are off the island, and it's just like our group of heroes are small.
Yeah, there's only like 60 middle-aged people here.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
They're all alone, and there's a storm coming in, and they can't get help for like a week or something like that. These are like perfect horror movie tropes.
Fucking get it what it does.
Yeah, so they're all at the church at night, and
the team that is going to be keeping the town safe is Lisa and O'Shea, Patty Smith, the marine ecologist, and the owner of the pub. I think his name Brian. And they amass like a collection of weapons of like, there's a flare gun.
It's not America, so no one has a gun.
No one has a gun. Yeah. They've got like
the cops
a super
don't have
soaker.
Guns.
Yeah, if this is America, it would just be like assault rifles.
It's really
half
good.
The people in that bar, minimum half of the people
are packing.
Yeah. Yeah. Shotguns. Packing, yeah. But yeah, because it's not a hellscape of pre-wasteland
like
America.
A knife.
Yeah, it's just like, I got a flare gun is like the biggest thing
they're their most important weapon. So they come up with the plan. They're gonna get everyone in the bar. They're gonna have a lock-in, but someone needs to kind of remain. Everyone has, you know, them included, they have to get drunk to protect themselves from the grabber, but someone
needs to remain
sober leader. You know, with their head straight. So, of course, O'Shea, the alcoholic, is the one who's like, it's got to be me.
Great choice. I love that. I love that as like a premise that like the alcoholic has to stay sober.
He's got to step up and be different.
That would have been an interesting bit, given that for the most part, I think this movie plays a lot of things straight. If it really showed him having a hard time, like, you know, staying sober, like he's like, God, I want to get in there and drink too, or oh, my flask, yeah. I got this, that. Like, they don't really get into that. He's just like, no, I just got to not drink while this, while we.
It's probably like there's so much grabbing going on to distract him from that. I think his adrenaline is probably keeping him.
But yeah, the stakes are high enough that he's like, I could go one night.
Yeah, it's one, it is just a matter of hours, really, that he has to be sober.
Well, so I was a little unclear. So to be brutally honest here, I did enjoy this movie, but I think the second act kind of sagged a little for me when the lock-in starts. I feel like things could have been tightened up here and there. It felt like the sequence just kind of dragged a little bit, you know.
I think it did go on a little long.
Yeah, I feel like it should have been, like, once we get to the lock-in sequence and they formulate their plan, like, it needs to be, like, we got, like, maybe 25 minutes left in the movie. We got to wrap it up. You know, the grabber. I keep wanting to say graboid. It's a grabber.
The graboid from outer space.
You know, but I was a little unclear. So it's like, okay, so their plan is to get everyone in the pub and have O'Shea go. And I think they say get, like, a tractor to isolate the grabber and keep it, like, still so that it won't get wet or something. What?
I think that might have been the plan that they have to take
initially
on
had, right
later though. I think eventually it becomes later. they're gonna get like some construction equipment and grab the grabber and keep it like suspended until sunrise, when like the sun will dry it up and it doesn't have access to water.
So what was their plan of dealing with the grabber initially, of doing the lock-in? Was it just to get everyone in there so
I think they were just trying to ride out the storm, like,
that's the thing. Yeah, where they're like, as when it gets to daylight and it'll be you know, the storm will be over, it'll be dry land, then we can.
And they keep a guard at each door, so they want to keep everyone in.
That was the thing, is they tried to radio like the mainland for help, but they were like, oh, the storm's coming, and like, fuck you, I know we're not coming. So it's basically like, if we can survive until tomorrow and then actually like get people here to like help us with these alien things.
Okay. So they
but we need to keep everyone
to
safe
with the grabber
during the night.
It was just, we need to keep everyone safe, we got to get through this. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay,
yeah, I don't think they were initially trying to be like, so we gotta stop the grabber.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. All right. Like I said, I think the second act drags a bit. I think they should have found a way to get someone outside so that the grabber kills them, and then that starts the wheels in motion where everyone has to go upstairs because the grabbers get, you know, inside the bottom floor, or the pub floor, rather.
We kind of have the same scene twice where we have two people wander out and get attacked by the grabber. Mm-hmm. Like, someone wanders out, gets attacked. Someone else wanders out and get attacked. And it's kind of like we have the same scene twice.
Yeah, they could have shaved a little off that.
But it is coming in, squeaking in at 94 minutes.
I know.
I think that's probably why it's there, is they just needed to fill out
just
some more time.
A little bit. The one of those that I would keep is when Smith, who, as we talked about before, as the scientist, was like, we have to, this is a brand new thing, like, we need to learn about this. So he shit-faced, and he's been the one, I made a special note of this, guarding the poutine, which is Irish moonshine that Patty made. Smith has been drinking that. And
which they you know, reference, of course, like, this is like the moonshine that's like pretty.
This is moonshine's gnarly. Moonshine. Like, this is
really all you need to drink to
well, but
to
they've
get
also
your blood
got all this beer. But so Smith is completely fucking gone, and he goes outside to take a picture of the grabber. Since he's so drunk, he thinks he's safe. He's like, oh, you can't touch me. That's an exact line from the movie. And then the grabber just grabs and flings him.
We see like his body just like, woo.
Because most of the other deaths in the movie, he beheads, the grabber beheads someone. And this one,
that's his thing.
It's
like
a swallow it down and then spits out the head, or like gets a tentacle like on your face and like sucks your blood and stabs you. But this, he just picks you up and flings you into the ocean. It was so
funny. It's almost like
funny.
The E.T. shot of like the shadow over the moon.
Yeah.
It's just his body like, whoa.
That was probably my favorite death in the movie.
Oh, it was
just
so...
Just because it was so unexpected same. That he just flings him like super far and kills him. That was great.
Also, I can't remember if it was at that death or an earlier one, but O'Shea and Lisa are like seeing this happen, and then one of them is like, oh, fuck that. That's something I really liked about this movie the first time I watched it, and I liked it this time too, was just that it's one of those horror movies where like people are scared and they're like, what the, without it being over the top, they're like, that is a monster, what the fuck. And I appreciate when that's done well, just like the drunk acting. Another scene from this movie that I love is when there's like a bunch of them like drunk trying to barricade a door, and O'Shea, the sober one's like trying to wrangle them. And I think more movies should have scenes like that of several people trying to do something badly.
Like he's trying to pull this big heavy table, and then Lisa is like on top of it for some reason. He's like, just get off the table. Just push it. Why are you sitting on the table? Just like get off it.
People are like falling down on the ground.
I mean, it's part of the joke. They set up this joke that the pub owner Brian pulls out this super soaker, and he's like, yeah, you know, you don't want to put water in it, obviously, but if we put gasoline in it and we put
we'll make a flamethrower.
Of course, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
but
he goes out into the
rain,
into the downpour, and it just immediately he's like, oh shit.
I was expecting him to die right there. That would have been a funny death, but he lives.
I don't want the pub owner to die, though. He's so...
That's illegal in Ireland. You can't let the pub owner die in the movie.
Surprisingly, not a lot of deaths, really. Brian, the... Or not Brian.
There's the other...
The morgue guy.
That's right. That's who it was.
Is Smith for sure dead?
Well,
oh,
he did.
Come on.
He got flung pretty far.
Well, maybe he landed in the ocean and just like swam back.
I don't know if that's when you swim back.
He was just really hurt.
He would have been too drunk, though, if he landed in the ocean. He wouldn't have been able to swim. He would have drowned if that was the case.
Yeah, Smith is dead. I'm sorry.
But again, it's a low budget. I'm sure that has something to do with it. But, like, you know, not a super high body count, but, like, the deaths that we get in the movie,
I think three or four deaths. At least
and
five.
Again, yeah, it's
at
a
least.
Small town, and it's established that there's not a ton of people on the island. So there wouldn't necessarily be a ton of deaths. But if we're going to talk like favorite kills, definitely Sam, was it? Was his name Sam?
Smith.
Smith is my favorite kill just because it's just so unexpected. What about you guys?
Funny.
Favorite kills?
Oh, man.
This is Spooktober, so
it's
we gotta get morbid here.
The one that is actually, as I said, kind of scary to me. It's the scene with the guy who's being kind of like hung and dragged around. Because there's that, and then scene goes on,
the Tad like, guy or whatever you say
is only one person is lured out into the rain, and his wife like runs back to the house, and it's like slamming all the doors and closing all the windows, and I'm like, okay, this is like a sincere like horror sequence and an effective one. I feel, even though that one ends with like she gets sucked up the chimney or something.
Great sound design in that scene, like the surround sound. That really good sound design. Like I loved horror scenes like that where something's on the roof and you just hear the boom, boom,
the thumping. Yeah,
the thumping. That's really effective.
So I would say it's that one for an actual Spooktober scare, but it's Smith's death for like the one that made me actually like holler out loud.
You just see his little like CG body.
The way like his limbs are
kind of
like.
Yeah, he's like. Whoa. Like the only thing that would have made it more perfect is if they didn't use CG and just literally use like a dummy.
A dummy,
see,
a
like,
soft dummy.
It's a really obvious dummy.
I
love dummies in movies. Those are so
I love
good.
When they throw a dummy. It's always good.
Like his, like I've said this before, like you see like the leg like up by the head, you know, it's just like, you know. That's the greatest. I love that.
I like the that's the right answer, but I also did like the we talked about earlier, the early on when they open the door, the couple opens the door and sees the guy like kind of dangling. That's pretty good.
It's a cool like realization moment, because it takes a minute for you to realize that his feet are literally dragging, you know, that he's suspended, like
right,
his feet
he's not
dragging.
Standing.
Like,
that
that's
was
why
really
he
cool.
looks so like weird and warped.
Yeah, like it almost kind of looked like a like kind of it reminded me a little bit of movies like The Grudge or something where like a ghost thing moves, but it's like really jaggedy, you know, the movement. Yeah. This kind of reminded me of that. And I didn't quite know what to make of it at first because you can't see the tentacle in him, like suspending him up. Like you just see him. So all you see is just this guy sort of awkwardly shifting outside the door.
It's spooky.
Yeah. Spookiest scene in the movie.
What can you say to the dang movie? So we haven't talked about the end. The plan that they are trying to accomplish at the end is Lisa is going to go to the construction site and get like a crane so they can grab the grabber. the like baby grabber things, which are again a really just disgusting like sex toy looking. Oh, how did I describe those in my notes? The grabber babies look like both anal plugs and pocket pussies. And
pocket pussies are you talking about? I don't think I've ever seen these.
Well, it's because it's like a tube thing, but
you gotta,
it's also
you got to go to the right store in Bartertown.
Yeah, you haven't been to the stalls that I have.
Can I get a pocket pussy? Hold the tentacles, please.
No tentacles for mine, actually. So those have started infiltrating the pub. Everyone's moved upstairs. Nolan accidentally sets the place on fire when she leaves. And everyone's okay, but they kind of just like move on with the thing after like the fire starts.
It's like the fire is like it ends up not being a big deal, apparently.
I guess so. I guess they dealt with it. But anyway, so O'Shea is taking kind of the
that bar is too sticky with beer to
oh,
really
yeah,
catch
they can't
flame.
Catch a good flame. O'Shea has taken on he's gonna distract the grabber so that Lisa can go get the construction equipment. They all end up at the construction site.
Oh, one thing we haven't mentioned, the male grabber is literally the size of a house.
Yeah, it's fucking huge. That's the other thing that it ends
doesn't
up
it
being
like roll.
It like rolls all
that's
over
how it moves.
Itself.
It's just
to
like
move.
A mass of tentacles.
And that's also like pretty creepy.
It is.
So we get to the construction site, and O'Shea gets like wounded by the thing, because he's, you know, the one sober being around. But then just at that moment, Lisa comes in and knocks the grabber like into a ditch and crushes it with like it's not even a crane. It's like
a tractor. She basically drives a tractor into it and it falls off the side of a hill.
And it's
kind of an
it.
Alien moment.
And is this when O'Shea pours Patty's moonshine?
Well, they kind of get back. They're both like away from it. And it's a kind of like, shall we celebrate with, again, this is like the Chekhov's moonshine that Lisa grabbed like when she left the pub. And they're going to kind of like, she pulls it out and they're like, oh, let's, we did it. And then the grabber kind of emerges half again. And so the moonshine, guess what? It goes straight into the anus vagina hole of the monster.
The pocket pussy.
The pocket pussy of the grabber.
I'm
so
writing
sorry.
Up my 2 weeks' notice.
This is sexual harassment. How many times we've said pocket pussy this episode? But yeah, they throw the moonshine at the monster, and it's wailing and dying, and then they shoot it with the flare gun, and that shit explodes.
I have one quibble with this moment. Does yes. that we don't see the triumphant moment of the grabber exploding and all the
exploding
guts
tentacles,
and goo and
yeah.
everything. All we see is a far off shot of
and
the explosion.
That's another $10,000 at least.
Yeah,
that
and
they
it
don't
was.
Have.
I think it was a maybe not the most satisfying, but a very pretty shot of the explosion from afar.
It is, and that's like a. It looks like a big real explosion.
No, for sure. But like, you gotta have that moment
you're
where
like,
you
I
see
wanted to see guts
and the goop, and it like lands guts. On the protagonist's face, and they like wipe off.
You
the
wanted
goop.
Them to get goopy.
Well, at the very least, they could have at least like if they didn't have enough left over to get the shot of the thing blowing up, they could have at least had the aftermath of just guts raining down on them. You know what I mean? That would have been fun.
Yeah, all you need
my
is someone
note.
Up there on a ladder off screen dumping
yeah.
over
dumping
like
fish
meat
guts.
Parts. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. That would have amped it up a little bit. Cuz honestly, yeah, that moment was a little underwhelming for me. The explosion was well done itself, but like you got to have that cathartic moment of seeing the squid monster pocket pussy explode you know, like close up.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Like, come on, even Jaws, even in Jaws 3, we see the crappy looking shark.
There should have been
explode.
Some chum.
Dude, wow. I've never
Where's
seen
the chum grabbers.
Oh.
I've never seen beyond Jaws 1.
That you're lucky that, well, Jaws 2 is okay, but you don't need to see Jaws 3 and 4. Those are completely
Is skippable. Jaws 3 in 3D?
It is, and the shark in that movie famously is one of the fakest, cheapest looking special effects possibly ever made.
Piqued my interest.
It's it might be worth seeing once just to see how bad that shark looks.
How bad the shark has aged.
It's wild how bad it looks.
Well, yeah. So then the daylight breaks. The storm is over. Everyone who survived.
Which is most people. They
which
did a
is
pretty
most
good
of
job.
Them. Yeah.
The plan for the most part worked.
The pub is, you know, a little singed, but we all made it out. And then it's just O'Shea and Lisa kind of like limping down the road together. And this was again that one of those moments where I didn't need it to go as romantically as it did, because I think it stood very well as a platonic moment. Yeah. Of them just kind of, you know, they made it through the night. They have a bond now. He like throws his flask away, and then a second later kind of jokes like, oh, what did I do? it's like it works because like the two actors have really good chemistry together. And when they kiss, I'm like, yeah, this is a fucking movie. This is cinema.
That's kind of
kiss.
Like a metaphor for like,
but I didn't
going cold turkey, like on, you know, like trying, he stops drinking and it's like this crazy night, but then he sees Breaks the Dawn and is like, all right, I think I can do this.
Maybe I can do this. And, yeah, there was an earlier scene,
oh yeah, where he says like he wasn't always an alcoholic.
Yeah, when they're in when they're watching the pub to make sure no one leaves. Lisa talks about like she's, you know, she's like a workaholic because she has like she's like the less favored sister in her family, and she had heard from another character earlier that O'Shea was an alcoholic because his wife died. But then he reveals, like, no, she didn't die. She just left me. And I, you know, dealt with it badly. And I have a drinking problem. Like, it's not some romantic
real
thing.
Life problem.
It's just like, yeah, I am kind of a piece of shit. Like,
yeah, I agree with you. I would have preferred their relationship be strictly platonic. Like, it
felt like it was like the people making it were like, well, we got to have a romance.
They got
to like,
kiss.
Let's check
the
box.
And it's like, no, yeah. They don't have to. They could just be buddy cops.
Yeah, anyway. There's something weird about like the buddy cop. I don't want them to be romantic. Like I want them to be buddies.
Yeah.
There's many kinds of love.
As we've seen in Aquamarine.
Exactly. You know what
it
the
all
most
comes back to Aquamarine.
Powerful love in the world. Okay, it's grabbers, but the monster that washes that goes on the wetland is Aquamarine. She lives on water and blood.
Yeah, someone just like CG in Aquamarine on all the grabber scenes. Like,
and then to cap it off, we get one of the all time horror movie tropes. Like, it's not over.
You
like,
thought
remember
that was
all
the
eggs?
End.
They forgot about the eggs.
Yeah, it's
go
just
back
classic
to
the end question mark.
Yep, and there's bunch of eggs with things wriggling around inside.
I bet though, like it's one of those things like. That's how it ends. You see the eggs wriggle around side, but I could totally imagine of like 5 minutes later, and it's just a bunch of people stomping on the eggs.
And they're like, oh shit, the eggs!
Oh yeah, the eggs!
They go back to the beach. They're like, we knew we forgot something.
It is a little startling that they somehow forgot about all of those eggs that they saw on the beach earlier in the movie.
To be fair, most of them are still kind of drunk. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Let them sober up, and they'll remember.
speaking of being let down, like I think the last line in the movie is pretty lackluster too. It's like, hey, you want to go find that guy's dog? Remember that? Like that's essentially the last line of the movie. Let's go find that guy's dog. It's like, first of all, I forgot about the dog.
Yeah,
you know,
we all did.
Back to the dog. Everyone forgot about the dog, but I feel like they could have had a better.
Let's
last
go find
line
Smith.
Yeah, what happened to Smith, by the way?
The bloated husk of Smith.
Smith, like, hey guys, I'm still alive.
The last shot is him paddling in the ocean.
Yeah. Help. That would have been fun. They're walking and they see him coming the opposite direction, and it's just like,
he's
oh
like,
my
I've
God,
been
Smith,
walking
you're
back
alive.
All night.
Or like, what if it's like the last shot is him, like, edge of life, desperately kind of washing ashore, just clawing his way back, and then the camera pans over to the eggs that you see hatching. That
he gets grabbed.
Well, it's up to us to make grabbers too.
But yeah, those, you know, it's a, I did enjoy the movie. I thought the middle act sagged, and they could have condensed a few things. They could have, Smith should have survived. That could have been a funnier last line than let's go find
Smith.
That guy's dog. But aside from that, I think this was an enjoyable movie, an enjoyable B movie with some fun tropes, some really, really pretty locations, and surprising chemistry with our lead actors, I thought.
And that's like a special thing. I feel like there's not a lot of, at least that I'm aware of, very enjoyable B horror movies in this era, like in the 2010s, because there was so much of the asylum types or the, you know, yeah. I know Wolf Cop isn't a horror, but, you know, like a B movie where it's like, you know, the Sharknadoes, where yeah. it's trying to be like, man, aren't B movies wacky? And like, this is not that. This like legit is just a sincere B movie, which is interesting to see for
with
this
some, with some with
time.
Humor thrown in. Like, it's definitely yeah. humorous, but I would say that
it's fun,
but I would say that the poster for this movie, or at least one of them, where you just see that emergency thing and there's a glass of beer in there, I feel that's misleading.
That's very, like, it wants you to be like, yeah, you know, Shaun of the Dead, it's something like that. Come on. And it's like, it's not quite that. It's
no,
it's
yeah.
not.
It's
definitely good,
humorous.
But it's not, yeah.
It's definitely humorous, but it's like, I don't know how I would explain the level of humor in this movie. Because like we said, I think this is a fairly straightforward, played straight, B horror film.
Yeah, it's not Shaun of the Dead.
That also has humor, but it's not Shaun of the Dead. Like, I don't know.
I'm just called
a
horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, more a horror comedy than a comedy horror.
Yeah, emphasis more on the horror, maybe. I don't know. It might be kind of a split, but I don't know. But I would just say that this is definitely not Shaun of the Dead. If you go in thinking it's going to be Shaun of the Dead, where it's literally laugh a minute,
it's not laugh a minute, but there are laughs.
I think it kind of like balances those two things, the horror and the comedy. And you know, yeah. I think for the most part, it tries to play it straight, I think.
I'm glad that it does.
I would say most of the humor is in the second half of the movie.
And I think it's really... this movie is so carried by the performances and the chemistry and the writing. Those kind of three things. Like, there's great banter. The characters are all, they ride that line between, they are definitely, to a funny degree, like stereotypes, like, you know, yeah. archetypes, like the drunk cop, the rookie cop, the
well,
town drunk.
Speaking of stereotypes, I think it's funny, but I'm also like, is this offensive that the drunk is named Patty? But I guess if you're Irish, you can say that.
Yeah, there was they really leaned into the
I mean,
Irish
it's an Irish movie,
yeah.
you know.
So it's like, go ahead, be Irish.
To the point where even the music was like, you know, it has like the, you know, that Irish sound. It's
that's
like they really leaned into that.
That's
because
it's an Irish movie. Like,
well, no, yeah. But to reference what Jackie was saying, where it's just like, is this, how stereotypical is this? Is this offensive? I don't know.
I don't think it's actually offensive.
No, but. Yeah, but it's just like, I was a little surprised where it's like, where, you know, yes, this is an Irish movie, but like, you know, it's not like the score from the movie has to be Braveheart, you know, it's just like, well, that's Scottish. I'm sorry. Never mind.
How dare you?
Wow. Talk about offensive.
I'm canceled.
How could you confuse the two?
But it's just like, I guess when I heard some of the music, I was just like, this is like stereotypically Irish sounding, to the point where I was just like, is that really all the music there is in Ireland? That it's like that, you know, we can play a sample of it right here. But,
you know, in the before times, Dave, I traveled a bit to Ireland.
I traveled a bit to Ireland.
And Gorgeous. Went to a lot, I could say, I went to a lot of pubs. Great pub culture there.
Went to the pubs.
And they're great music culture. Like, they're really big into music. And there were, at all these pubs where there was music, a lot of it was someone on guitar, someone on a fiddle.
Okay.
Like, you know, there's a lot of, like, that music going on. Like, that kind of Irish folk music is still a tradition, very alive and well.
Okay.
Or was.
It was. God knows what it is now.
I guess it's just like, because all we ever see in movies is that. So I was just like, it's just like, how stereotypical is this?
From my limited experience, I think it's you know, the culture.
And that's the difference between, you know, Irish people making a movie in Ireland versus like an American Hollywood movie being like, this is Ireland.
It's just hard to see, because like you said, like, Patty is so stereotypically Irish.
I love Patty. but yeah, it's like if his name was like Mick, you're just like, whoa.
Patty's so good. You know, all these characters, I was going to say this about Patty, but I think it's true for everyone. Like, I want to go to a pub and hang out with these characters.
Oh, I'd have a pint with Patty.
Yeah, it's not a fucking lobster.
She's no feckin' lobster.
Well, did you guys have any other thoughts on Grabbers, or should we get into recommendations?
I think that's everything. Yeah, let's go over it.
Well, I would recommend this. This is a nice little B horror film that is not Asylum bad. You know, when you see one of the DVD covers, your immediate thought may be, oh, is this just an Asylum direct to video craptastic movie? It's not. It is an Irish film. It is it's Irish through and through.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, I got
to talk about offensive.
It's just like a straight up B horror film that's played straight, is sincere, has some good chemistry between the actors, and has some genuine like scares from here and there. So a nice little gem, I would say.
Yeah.
If you got any, I would give this a strong recommendation, especially for the Spooktober, Spooktacular.
Good way to start off your Spooktober.
Get the lights, you know, turn the lights off, maybe cook up some mildly irradiated popcorn.
Grab a beer.
Grab a
pint.
A pint of Guinness. A pint. Yeah. Maybe some Jameson.
Maybe some moonshine.
Maybe some moonshine from Patty.
If you got it.
You know, be careful with the moonshine though.
Drink it if you got it.
And, yeah, no, it was a pleasant surprise. Great recommendation, Jackie.
Does it hold up for you, Jackie?
It does. I would say, I definitely recommend it because it's a pretty good fucking movie, but I don't recommend it for Netflix and chill because you'll be too busy watching a pretty good movie to chill.
What's, you know, as we bring up the topic of Netflix and
chill. Neither you mentioned Netflix
and
chill.
I thought we were talking about Netflix and chill.
Well, I was thinking about that. So what, is the idea behind Netflix and chill just to put on a movie you know you're not going to watch? So it doesn't matter what the movie is, like, or is the intention, like, let's put on a bad movie that we know we're going to
The
ignore.
Idea is, like, it's the
let's
oldest. It's no different than just back before Netflix where it's, like, the easiest thing for a date where you'd be like, do you want to come over and, like, hook up? But you don't want to say that. You're like, you want to come over and watch a movie.
And then you end up having sex to a DVD menu, you know?
Yeah, the DVD menu of Chocolat plays on a loop for...
for example. this was definitely something selected with the idea of like, oh, we'll watch like 10 minutes of this and then start making out. And instead we just watched a good movie.
I would say if you Netflix and chill, for me anyway, turn the movie off. Once you're into the chilling,
respect
turn the movie
cinema.
Off.
Yeah, if you're going to quote chill, then turn off the movie and come back to it.
You run into this issue. If you leave the movie on and the volume is audible enough, I have Netflix and chilled with Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
You can't do it with a kids movie, Dave.
Exactly, because I remember we were into the chilling part of the evening, and I just hear Ron Weasley talking about
just
like,
a tiny little like, oh, I saw,
and it completely killed the mood. It completely killed the mood where I'm just like, why is this still on? We need to turn this off.
You can't Netflix and chill of a child say like, hey.
I think part of it though is if you're at the Netflix and chill stage of your life, you might have roommates, and so maybe you keep the movie on to kind of be respectful. Yeah. You know,
even so, don't choose Harry Potter.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, terrible choice. I mean, maybe one of the later ones, but
I'm glad we addressed Netflix and chill etiquette.
Yeah,
this
Spooktober, Spooktacular, Netflix and chill responsibly.
You know,
don't
and while we're talking
Harry
about
Potter
Daniel
movies.
Radcliffe works, don't, I'm just going to put it out there, don't Netflix and chill the Swiss Army Man. There's
that
way
not
too
so
many
sexy.
Disgusting sounds in
there's
that movie.
There's too many farts to...
a lot of farts.
I'm sure Daniel Radcliffe would tell you the same.
Yeah, that's so a public
grabbers.
Service announcement.
Yeah, grabbers, a recommendation for Spooktober, however, not a recommendation for use with Netflix and chill.
This is a good, I'm feeling much better about Spooktober, Spooktacular, than I was the Hot Dave Summer Film Fest.
Oh.
You know, that whole thing was kind of thrown together last minute. I'm not going to lie. We'll do better next year, but we're giving you the audience Spooktober Spooktacular is sort of help me out here.
A refund at a
just making it up to our audience yeah. for how short
I saw,
and lackluster
I saw the
art.
Bartertown sharpening the pitchforks and I think we're
their radio waves
that.
Will yeah
just consider Spooktober an apology for our summer
this is our apology tour yep.
Oh man. Well, that will conclude this installment of the Apocalypse Video Spooktober Spooktacular. We will return with another frightening installment next time. Trying to think of a sign off.
Put something better here.
Gobshite!
Gobshite! Tis no feckin' lobster.
All right, Alison.
Rachel, between you and me, I caught myself a sea monster today. Swear to God, may he strike me down. You don't believe me?
Not a bit.
I am no liar. Feck off, you!
All right, where is it?
In my bathtub.
In your bathtub?
Up in the bath.
Ha ha ha!